This is John Torpy, producer at Market to Market. You're listening to the Market Analysis Podcast. Send us any questions or comments to markettomarket@iowapbs.org.
This is the Friday, February 26, 2021 version of the Market Analysis segment from Market to Market. Export sales reports took the wind out of many markets this week as lower totals sent some long contract holders for the exits. For the week, May wheat gained a nickel, while the nearby corn contract added 6 cents. Another large outbreak of African swine fever in China is likely going to curtail the demand for U.S. soybeans. Nearby beans improved 24 cents. May soybean meal dropped $2.20 per ton. May cotton shrank by $1.65 per hundredweight. In the dairy parlor, March Class 3 milk futures declined 5 cents. A mixed week in the livestock sector. April cattle fell $3.68, April feeders dropped a dime, and the April lean hog contract added $2.65. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index gained 46 ticks. April crude oil increased $2.62 per barrel. COMEX gold weakened $50.90 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs commodity index added more than 9 points to finish at $477.85. Here now to provide insights, one of our regular market analysts, Sue Martin. Hello, Sue.
Hello there.
All right. So exports is what I started to try to say smoothly, but, you know, sometimes it doesn't always go that way. The export sales, we've become accustomed to a certain level of exports here in the last couple of months. I want to start with a question that came. We got a lot of great questions via Facebook and Twitter, and this one came from James in Oklahoma, and it's a little bit about stocks and the exports. He says, with large U.S. and world wheat stocks, what's the justification for these prices? Is it exports? Is it something else?
I think it's one, global supplies. You might think that stocks are burdensome in wheat, but they're not. They're in decline. And U.S. stocks are tightening as well. And then you have corn that's interchangeable with wheat, and our stocks are tightening considerably there. And so the only domino left to fall in that category would be rice, and rice stocks are aggressive in the world at this time. So wheat is moving along because it's a food item. China has imported wheat. They took, in January, they took pretty much most of the Chicago wheat deliveries, which is unusual. And I think that when we look at the wheat market, here's a market that's gone through. It's like a cat with nine lives. You keep trying to kill it, but it doesn't seem to die. But there's the uncertainty of knowing just how the U.S. crop has fared through this bitterly Siberian polar vortex that we went through. And then that's on top of Russia being very concerned about their supplies and domestic food inflation prices rising to where they've added on export tax. And on March 1st, another one goes into effect. And then you've got Ukraine, who has also became very protectionistic of their supplies. So I think it's a fundamentally demand-driven market.
You mentioned the weather. We're going to get a good sense next week, because if you looked at the snowpack picture from the beginning of the week to the end of the week, it just disappeared in 2 days in the wheat belt. Is it one of those lives we will find out if we spent in the wheat market next week, or do you think we already know and the market's already factored it in?
No, I think the market's still in quandary as to what really is out there and the condition of the crop. And they're waiting. You know, this past week, the crop condition ratings that we got were a little, you know, they were optimistic, I guess. And traders were disappointed. But that also, we had to realize that was a very early crop condition rating. And those are going to change appreciably as we go forward. So I think that when we look at the wheat, March is a month that you start breaking dormancy. And, you know, and then you have a seasonality in corn where prices tend to decline. So you kind of got the two playing together. And I think that's part of, we've had a lot of velocity in the wheat market here. And $7, you get close to it, and it seems like that's a magical number. So we're falling back, and the market's kind of just saying, I need to rest for a minute.
Magic numbers are floating around in corn and in soybeans. Let's start with corn first. There was one question that we had that somebody was asking, you know, when are we going to put a 5 in front? I mean, we had a 5. When are we going to put 6 or 7? Are those magical numbers out of reach in corn?
No, they're not. I think, you know, we've talked about the gaps that are on these individual contract months, you know, July corn, Sep corn, December corn, and they go, there's various combinations, and they go all the way up to 709. So I do think we get them. Do we get them all this year? Probably not, but we get a chunk of it, and then we'll catch a pullback. I don't, you know, July corn, for example, made new contract highs here in the month of February. Normally, very rarely would you put a February high in and that be, especially after a post-harvest rally, and that be your top for the year. It's, I think you've got better coming yet, and I would have to say we might see a healthy correction first.
Because you have said in the past, I think maybe just in the last couple of weeks, you've written that when we perform well in February, that bodes well down the road.
Yes, it does. It has a very strong tendency when you take out those post-harvest rallies, highs, that, in other words, that's from November through January. In February, and it's a new contract high, then you tend to come back and make higher highs again. And this year is following, this is a question, you know, that probably could have come up, but we are following the path of 2008 pretty closely.
Okay, and somebody wanted to know, are we?
Yes, yeah. Yes, we are, and in beans as well. However, it is just not 2008 that we're following. I have, even in beans, two studies where one's on May and one's on the July contract. And we've set those up. It took us right almost to the end of the month to get it done, but they're set up as well. And the key here is that we're in a demand pulled market. And I went back and I looked at the year of 2008, but there's other years that are very similar as well. But in 2008, I thought it was rather interesting. It started off with a client asking me, you know, could you go back and look at 2012 and see if your cycles were the same then? So I went back and no, they were clicking every month, just like clockwork. And so then I thought, I'm going to go look at 2008 because China was a huge buyer of commodities that into that year. They were awarded in 2003 the Beijing Summer Olympics. And when that happened, they needed everything.
We were just talking about that last week after the show with Elaine. We were discussing the Olympics. So with soybeans, though, there's a question that's floating out. Have they left the party right now in buying? Have they taken a pause? Do you think they're coming back? Going using your 8 and 12 references that you were just marking.
Well, I think that we made the new contract highs, so I think there's very good potential that we will come back and make higher highs again for the year. I don't think our highs are in, period, for the year, straight across, especially corn and soybeans. But I do think we are going to have a pause. One of the things that feeds that thought, not just because it happened in 2008, but there's several things. One is my cyclical work that I do. Ironically, that year is identical to this year. Maybe a few days off in time, mm-hmm. but pretty close. And we broke that year. The other thing, and before we renewed the last hurrah rally, and Chinese buying then, you know, culminated. Well, this year we've got phase one culminating. But the other thing is that you look at South America and you look at Brazil, and very late in getting their crop in is part of the reason they're late getting it out. And then the rains that kept coming across the north. Now we're seeing the European model waffle a bit and kind of show that they might start to dry out in the north. And a ridge setup, and if that occurs, that'll push rains to the south and then on into Argentina, which they badly need. That kind of gave us a chatter. So we do have a weather market going. But in the meantime, the concern of tight supplies, U.S. supplies, how tight we are. And then you look at the draw that, you know, the farmer in Brazil sold so far ahead early, and then all of a sudden he had to stop because he wasn't sure how his crop was going to be. And now the quality issues coming into play. Because we don't know what that true quality is on those beans with the rains that have been coming. That could impact some oil content. And then the other thing that we're looking at, of course, like with China, with the ASF, concerns there that they might slow, but their crushing margins aren't as great right now either. But more than anything, it's our stocks, how tight they are, tight supplied. And the COVID did pull into the demand side for veg oils. everybody's cooking at home. Right. You know, we're not using used oil and reusing it like in a restaurant sometimes. It's everybody's cooking
big,
at home.
Big demand. Okay, so soil was a story for the soybeans. But also I want to flip into the hog market just a little bit because there is the report of the emergence again of African swine fever in China. Hogs were one of the livestock winner this week. Is it because of China that we're up in hogs, but yet down in soybeans a little bit because of a less demand for feed? Where's that? Because we had that debate about a year ago, 2 years ago.
I think more than anything, the market's had a huge run and it's kind of tired. You know, it's taken us a whole month to get the higher highs in beans. Okay, now you look at hogs, and I've been bullish hogs for some time, and it's starting to be more towards fruition. It's not done yet. I believe that you're going to take June hogs to 100. And, you know, that's kind of a magical. We've been there before. The all-time high is 133-something. But I think that when I look at the hog market, pork is probably a cheaper product of meat. You have PRRS going on in the U.S. and PED virus, following up on a year when you had liquidation because of just horribly cheap prices, and packers not able to process all the animals and what have you. And then you look at over in China, and they're in the process of getting themselves back up to speed. They said by June they would be back to where they were to begin with before ASF hit them. That's fine. They're moving more into a more westernized, commercial-oriented, more efficient production situation. And when I look at China, do I see them stopping at that level where they once were? No, I think they're going to surpass it because food is so critical right now, and they want supplies, and they need to replenish their supplies.
Let's move into the cattle market because inflation is a concern a little bit on the consumer that's going to buy on the live cattle market. Is that a weight, do you think, on live cattle?
Well, the cattle market is, ironically, go back to the year of 2008 again, and here again, cattle were doing the same thing then that they're doing now. Don't know for sure just totally why, but I will say this. When I look at the cattle market, first off, the recent really bad cold snap, the black swan event that happened all the way down to the Gulf, there's a lot of utility bills that are going to have to be paid, and that's going to, in the old days, and I think it'll again, it's going to interfere with the grocery bill. And that's beef that's probably going to take a back seat to other things. You have an earlier Easter this year, and so that's on April 4th. So I think that's weighing on the beef market a little bit right now, too. So, and then today, on Friday, you had expiration on the February contract, and it went off the board at $113.90 on its face. That's a little disappointing. I don't trust cattle. I don't think they're done. There is a major trend line of support about, around maybe a dollar lower than where we closed on Friday, but I don't trust this market very well.
Okay. What about on the feeder market in 30 seconds? They're also weighted with some of those same factors, but the feed issue is still a problem.
Well, the feed issue is a problem, and I hear this often, that it's kind of like, well, back in my day when I started, it didn't matter what feed costs were. That didn't mean prices had to go up. Unfortunately, I do think that feed costs are really going to irritate the cattle feeder producer for some time, at least into June, July. Then we'll get some relief, and they better use it to lock up all the way in through 2023 if they can.
We'll talk signals on what to look for in Market Plus. Thank you so very much, Sue. Good to see you.
Thank you.
All right, that will do it for the installment of the TV show we call Market to Market. We will keep it going in Market Plus, so join us there. Find that on our website of markettomarket.org. Now, during the next few weeks, we're headed into an important part of public television, pledge time. Many of the stations that carry this program may shift when we are on, but the message is clear. If you value the work done on this program, please consider supporting the work that we do with a financial contribution to your local PBS station. Next week, we check out the report card for the Mississippi River. Until then, thanks for watching and have a great week.